Welcome to Season 2, Episode 7 of Des Moines Backstage, the Central Iowa Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bocart. Today we sat down with Charlie Reese, Brad Dell, Jonathan DeLima, and Aaron Horst, who are involved with Iowa Stage Theater Company's production of Company, which runs September 22nd through October 8th at the Des Moines Social Club's Come and Go Theater. For more information on this production, you can visit iowastage.org. This episode was recorded on Tuesday, September 12th, at Iowa Stage's rehearsal space in downtown Des Moines. Now, let's go backstage.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines backstage.
Backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
Theater podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater podcast.
Des Moines backstage.
The Central Iowa Theater podcast.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage. The Central Iowa Theater podcast.
Welcome to Des Moines Backstage, the Central Iowa Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bocart. Today we're sitting here with some of the cast and director of Company, the first show presented by Iowa Stage Theater Company. How's everybody doing today?
We are
so
great.
Good.
Awesome.
Great, great. Well, hey, let's go around the table.
Still alive.
And, let's go around the table here and have you guys introduce yourselves just so the audience knows who's here.
So I'm Charlie Reese and I'm playing Bobby.
I'm Brad Dell and I'm the director of the show.
I'm Jonathan DeLima. I'm playing Harry.
And I am Aaron Horst. I'm playing Marta.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, Brad, tell us, just a brief synopsis of what Company is about.
Company is Stephen Sondheim's musical masterpiece that came out in 1970. And it is about this guy named Bobby. And he lives in New York City and he is turning 35. And all of his friends are a bunch of wonderful and crazy married couples. And the show is sort of a deconstructed plot where we keep coming back to his 35th birthday with all of these wonderful, crazy friends. And then we get to kind of go on a journey as Bobby meets and interacts with these different crazy couples, as well as three very different and fun girlfriends along the way. And it's kind of a search for Bobby to figure out what he wants in his life, like we all are always on. And it's pretty cool, pretty exciting, really funny, lots of places, kind of bizarre, and ultimately, like all Sondheim, wildly human.
That's one thing I know about this musical is that it's one of the first musicals to really be sort of a darker, what we would call sort of a modern musical.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, I think it's that it doesn't always answer the many questions that it asks, which is I think a fun and a challenging thing. It asks a whole lot of questions and doesn't always answer them, and I think it presents people in all of their wonderful, fabulous, ridiculous, and stupidity,
Their realness.
Yeah, their realness, right? which is kind of cool. And it does it in this very sometimes abstract, sometimes deconstructed way. It's not that it's hard to follow. It's just not set up in a traditional story, which is makes it kind of fun.
Oh, well, each of you, I'd love to hear just a little bit or a lot of it, depending on how long you want to talk about your respective characters. We can start with Charlie since you're the lead.
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm playing Bobby. And one of the challenges that I kind of face with this role is that he's supposed to be turning 35 and coming to terms with whether he wants to, continue living down this path of kind of childish behavior where he's dating multiple women and just being a playboy, or if he actually wants to settle down and get married. And
this is typecasting, right?
Shush. And as he's getting to spend time with his friends throughout the show, he's coming to terms with what marriage is and what it means to him and what he needs to fill that void in his life. And while we don't necessarily get a specific answer to the question, he goes through different paths in what he thinks it should be or what he expects it to be. And Brad has done a really good job of kind of creating this environment that allows audience members to really look at multiple characters within the show and see themselves in various people. One of the unique challenges that we have with this piece is that it's going to be performed completely in the round.
Which is rare in Des Moines.
Which is very rare in Des Moines. And it's a different type of challenge because with the Stoner Theater over at the Des Moines Performing Arts Building, you had three-quarter thrust. You had audience members on three sides. And Jonathan can attest, when you do shows like that, it makes it more about like performing on angles and not so much playing straight out to the audience. When you're in the round, you're seen from every angle, from every perspective. So you can't, just like an immersive experience, you can't drop character. You have to stay on and in the entire time you're on stage.
There's nowhere to escape in the round, which was kind of one of the reasons that went into the choice of doing in the round. It also provides this really kind of radical intimacy that the audience gets to really be at one with the performers and with one another, because at all times you can look across and see the other audience members experiencing the show at the same time, which is kind of neat.
Speaking of radical intimacy, I think...
God, where are we going with this, Jonathan?
Where are we going?
I have some confessions, personally. No, I think that's one of the things that's interesting about the play is that it puts Bobby in situations often with, especially as he visits each of the five married couples. Harry, my character, is one of the husbands, and Charlie is often placed in somewhat uncomfortable but familiar settings with these often interesting encounters between these couples. Sometimes it makes him uncomfortable. Sometimes he finds it charming. Sometimes, and so do the couples. And I think that's part of what the In the Round setup may also offer the audience, is that there's not a whole lot of remove with some of the moments that are fun, which is really energizing, and some of the moments that are maybe a little bit uncomfortable or particularly human or areas of conflict that maybe we're all more familiar with than we might want to admit.
So there's no escaping the awkwardness.
Absolutely not. And you have more than just, you know, surface level emotions that you have to convey. You have to show that internal struggle with like how you react to every little aspect, which Brad has been spending a lot of time with us on.
The opening word, the very first word of Sondheim's Sweeney Todd is the word attend. Attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Right.
And I always like to think about that with Sondheim, that's the word that we all must do when we are encountering a Sondheim show. Because it's not sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
No.
It's get on in there, get involved. You must engage. You must get intimate with the experience in order to really fully get it. And that's really exciting. And I think that this show, just like Sweeney Todd, really kind of right at the beginning kind of grabs the audience and says, we don't know what this ride is going to be, but we hope you will join us on the adventure.
Yeah, I also think that this musical is perfect for the round because of that intimacy. It allows the actors sort of these quiet, close-up, subtle moments that you don't often get in a musical.
Like a typical proscenium, because
yes,
you're so far away from the
yes,
action.
It's so presentational. And this one is just really invites the audience in and come and join us on this very personal journey. And it allows us as actors to play with that on a more intimate level, which I think is great for these characters personally.
I've done one show in the round, and I'm curious how you actors find it, if it's different maybe than doing like a proscenium show. I know when I was doing it, my director always said, act with your back more, because always your back's going to be to somebody. And I found that real hard. Like, you can't just use your face, because somebody's not going to see that. So is it different for you acting in a, you know, this setup than it would be in a different style?
I don't think about, that's Brad's job as a director to think about
it is,
those.
It is, right.
I don't think so much about the technicalities as I do with, this is exciting. The audience is close. And so I can just live in this character's skin and the audience can see everything that's happening. And so I don't think of the technicalities of doing
the gift of this show in the round is that most of the time there are three or more people on the stage.
Oh,
and right. So most of the time you're able to have like triangles and hexagons and decahedrons that allow every member of the audience to always be able to engage with somebody.
To see somebody, right?
To see somebody, to see somebody's face, to see somebody's reaction. So yeah, not every side is going to get the exact same experience, mm-hmm. but I think every side should feel like, oh, the goal is that every side should feel like, oh God, I'm so glad I sat over here because I got that. I got this little gift. I got this little thing.
This might be a show you want to see more than once and sit in different
Wouldn't that
spots.
Be awesome? Yes. Buy tickets Absolutely. Every weekend. There's three weekends.
Perfect. Well, we didn't hear about Jonathan and Aaron's characters. If you would just briefly touch on those.
Well, Harry, my character, is married to Sarah. And they have... they have a sort of long-standing and comfortable marriage in one sense, comfortable so much, in fact, that they get a physical charge out of situations that most people wouldn't take advantage of.
A physical charge out Such of physical it? Charges is what I was going
to
say.
Sometimes to the alarm of their friends. But I think the friends have also come to sort of get used to that. And each of the two of us has our... weaknesses as well. I happen to have enjoyed my share of alcohol in the past, and Sarah,
we all. Are you talking about the character or you?
I'm not going to say it's typecasting. and so we each of us wrestles with our own a little bit wrestles or encounters, figures out our own personal challenges, but I think part of that actually draws us together in some ways, and it's just that's the particular nature of our relationship, or some of our relationship.
Yes. And okay. So I'm playing Marta. Like I said earlier, she is one of the three girlfriends. They, like we also said, like Charlie said, they each have their own sort of, they play their own role in his life. And Marta is sort of the for a good time call. she,
I think we all know that person.
But at the same time, she's not afraid of life and she's not afraid of living and she's not afraid to get down and dirty. And she sort of loves flaws and loves humanity. And I think at Bobby's point in his journey when he meets her, at least I like to think so, is that he's sort of in need of somebody like that. He's got all these married couple relationships that he's looking to, that he's thinking, do I need this? Do I need this? Do I need this? And Marta's the one that sort of says, like, you have a really kind of got to stick up your ass. you should really chill out and just live in the moment and enjoy life. And I feel connected to her because I think she's pretty cool and just has no fear, you know, which is great about her.
She sings a song. One of the more famous songs from the show called Another 100 People. Another 100 people just got off of the train and came looking around, another 100 people. And she just keeps singing about lots of different things that lots and lots of people are doing. And I think it's the way we've interpreted it, the way that Aaron has so wonderfully interpreted it, it's this getting off on life and getting off on seeing people living life and how cool that is.
And just living in the moment.
And living in the moment, right? And I think that that's a really super fun thing. And one of the many reasons why this play does not feel dated at all, but indeed wildly relevant to 2017.
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, it's about relationships. I don't know how it couldn't be relevant always.
That's true. There's always relationships.
But I do think that there are associations people make, and there are maybe even some musical ones, because if they know the songs, people may associate this with a certain time period. And I think that's one of the interesting things is that even as we've gone through this, it's not like all of this is very familiar. The material or the things that we're exploring are very familiar. There's, as Aaron's saying, it's not, this is not, these are not areas of human experience that are only based in 1970 at all.
Right. It's not like you're doing a Greek tragedy with kings and things. These are very relatable people, and that'll obviously help the audience enjoy it too, right?
Music. There's a lot of elements of like 70s rock, 60s rock that are kind of influenced into the show. But at the same time, the way that it's being presented under Brad's direction, we've kind of modernized a few concepts, made things a little bit more relevant to today. We're incorporating cell phones within the production. We're incorporating a lot of elements that would make it feel like it's happening right now.
That's helpful. Speaking of the cell phones, I've been seeing, you guys have been doing a good job of posting social media things for this show. It is intriguing. Tell us, Brad, I know every director runs rehearsal differently. It seems like you guys are having a really good time at rehearsals.
Not at all.
And I don't know how you couldn't with the cast. We only have three of you here, but there's a lot of really fun people. So just tell us about sort of how you like to plan your rehearsals.
Question. No, I mean, I think we should, these things that we do are called plays. We should have a good time, right? We should do our work. We should work hard and play hard. And with this show that is so infused with life, our rehearsals sure as hell better be infused with a lot of lives. You know, one of the, so we talked about that this play happens on Bobby's birthday. It just so happened that I think we've had four or five or like six birthdays of people involved with the show throughout the process thus far. So like it's nearly been every night that we've begun rehearsals with cake and cookies and pies and everything and cupcakes and singing happy birthday to folks. So it really has felt like this really fun communal experience. It's been great.
So it's life imitating art or art imitating life. Who knows?
I had my 37th birthday 2 weeks ago, and I basically had the party that Bobby has with this group of my 37 and single and this lovely group of amazing but mostly married friends who were over. And I just, like, it was one of those, like, okay, this is really happening. This is really real.
I will also offer, there are certain elements of the show and of this production that are worth mentioning. Lovely, lovely people in the cast and some great singers.
Yeah, but let's go ahead and mention the cast. You don't have to mention everybody, but the cool people at least.
Yeah. so we've got Jackie Schmillen, who's been on stage lots of places and is on the news every morning. And she's playing one of the girlfriends, April. And two-time Chloris Award winner Katie Merriman is the other girlfriend. And she is, of course, wonderful and fabulous. And we have Linda Juckett, who is kind of a longtime Des Moines Theater All-Star.
Des Moines legend.
I almost said
the man, the myth, the legend.
The man part. She's awesome. And very recent Chloris Award winner, Adam Yankovi, who is just awesome and has like a voice that drips diamonds.
It's true.
Yeah. I know. And Danny Bull, who is also just amazing. I mean, there's just this wonderful group of people.
These are heavy hitters.
Well, and this, Sondheim has a reputation for writing difficult music. And while I don't think that that's necessarily evident in listening to the show, because it's very tuneful and very playful, it is challenging technically, and we have worked really hard, and I have to say it's been super fun to work this hard on music that's this rich. That's just me personally.
Absolutely.
Yes, the girlfriend song, I can speak on behalf of all three of us, I think, and say that it is not easy. It's been a really, really fun process, though. Like, you really have to go back to your, I have to be a good musician to learn this now and actually practice.
Right. Yeah, you can't just listen to it to learn it. Exactly. Yeah. Well, we briefly just touched on the themes, but we didn't come out and say what are the themes of the show? What are the people going to leave talking about?
Well, I think obviously it talks a lot about marriage and relationships. I mean, that is the concept of the show that Sondheim and Hal Prince were going for when they put it together. But I think it's also about self-actualization and becoming whatever version of your best self is. And then I think it's also about like cherishing the little moments. One of the things that I've loved discovering through the process is within each of these scenes that we get to see these glimpses into these couples' lives, there's a lot of silly, funny, quirky things that happen. And then in just about every scene, there's this like nugget of lovely humanity and lovely love, where we get to really see, oh, that's why these couples are together. That's why they love each other. There it is right there. And I think that that's kind of really cool and special. It's not big things. They're never big moments. They're like really little moments. And I think that that's one of the things that the show and Sondheim, like throughout his whole career, is doing is celebrating the little things we do together. See what I did there?
Is that a song reference? God, everybody's making song references lately, and I just don't get them because I don't know this show really at all.
Well, we'll do our best to set your expectations really high then.
Yeah, well, my expectations are very high.
And you might know more of the songs than you think you do. I think that may be an experience a lot of people have. They'll be like, oh, this is kind of familiar. Or, oh, I do know this song. There are a couple of those in there.
That happens pretty frequently with shows that I see. Because I know a lot of shows. I just don't know where the songs are from. Were you going to say something here?
No, I don't think. Oh, well,
you don't have to.
I was going to say off of Brad's, he says the scenes have all of these little moments, right?
The nuggets.
But I can say, yeah, the nuggets of little emotional human places. I can say, though, watching, I watch all of these scenes with the couples and with the other girlfriends, that every single time there is a little moment, Brad has done such a lovely job of pulling it out of us that the little moments will hit you big. I mean, they're like so lovely that I get goosebumps watching them just in rehearsals every night. And like, I've been watching this for a while and I'm familiar with the show and I'm seeing, and I think that other actors are realizing things about their characters that they maybe haven't thought about before if they knew the show previously. Because I think there's quite a few of us that have actually been in this show before as different parts.
Yeah.
So it's fun to sort of relive that.
I mentioned this elsewhere, but I had a very formative experience as a young boy. Get ready.
Is that the end of the story or is this going somewhere?
I may have to live this down. But as a young boy, my mother was in this show. Anyone want to guess what part?
April.
She was April. That's right. So she was one of the girlfriends who has to sing a song, sings the song Barcelona, which is a lovely, lovely song. As my sisters and I often still return to that as one of the moments that we all were both proud of and kind of ashamed of being our mother's kids, because she's up there as one of the girlfriends to Bobby.
Awkward. Well, Brad, like we said, this is the inaugural show for Iowa Stage Theater Company, which is awesome. Why is this show the perfect show to start your company with?
I've said this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. The mission of the Iowa Stage Theater Company is to transform Iowa and its artists by producing truthful, relevant, and intimate theater that inspires, enlightens, and entertains. And I would hope that through the conversation that we've just had, all of those ideas are highlighted in what company is.
Absolutely.
It was pretty much a no-brainer when we were thinking about, we really kind of thought we'd love to do a musical to open the theater company. And this was the most exciting choice. And like this really, a logical, great, and exciting choice. And so it's something that we have all dreamed. I've dreamed about doing it for a long time, and I know a lot of other people involved with Iowa Stage have loved the show for a long time. It also is a show that kind of blends the two traditions a little bit. One could argue that it is a classic of musical theater, but one could also argue that it is quite cutting edge. And so that it also has that wonderful blend of the two traditions from which Iowa Stage is born.
I'd say it's definitely a classic just because it was such a trailblazer, you know, kind of the first
Absolutely.
Of its kind.
And yet, because it was a trailblazer, it's also has that cutting edge
right,
quality.
Right, exactly. So. And I know Charlie wanted you to mention this, and I had it written down as well. Most of the people listening to this are theater people,
yeah.
I would assume. Meaning that they're involved in shows, you know, they're actors, backstage people. Mentioned this really cool thing that Iowa Stage has called the Iowa Artist Pass. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the idea is that you can sign up to be on the Iowa Artist Pass list, which means that you can come to any Iowa Stage performance throughout the entire season for $20. So it's a huge savings. It's basically the cost of a student ticket price, and you can come to any show. It's a rush ticket. So in the wonderful event that we're sold out, you might not get in. But otherwise, if you come and your name's on the list because you've signed up, you get to see this show or any performance for $20. So
that's a good deal.
Yeah, we really wanting to do it so that we can try to make all the artists in Iowa a part of this and to kind of spread the love and to create as much interaction and involvement in as many different ways as possible with all the artists of Iowa.
Oh, and it's huge for building the community too, because like you said, you guys are the new kids on the block, so not everyone's going to know what to expect. And there comes a certain level of something with that. I can't think of the word.
But hey, let's give it a try. It's only $20.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll be pleasantly surprised. Forgot to ask back when we were talking about the actual production. Obviously, there's some semi-heavy themes that we're dealing with. What's an appropriate age?
I would say this show is PG-13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Language or anything like that?
Does anybody
say a little mature language?
Yes, I say things.
They're not scripted, but she said.
No, I accidentally said it earlier in the podcast, and I'm super sorry.
But I think it's mostly. I mean, it's. I don't. Is the F word said?
No, but
so.
I say the A word.
Yeah, and like,
what's
like
the A word?
And yeah, like, like a few of the, there are a few, like a couple of swear words, but not very many. And, you know, there is some suggested sexual stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't go so far as direct simulation or anything like that, but it's kind of implied within the moment. So
I really wish you hadn't used the word simulation. That made me really uncomfortable.
I can use many other words to make you uncomfortable.
Please, combo. I know that's true.
But yeah, I think it would be, I'd feel pretty confident in calling it PG-13.
PG-13. Okay. Yeah. So you'll hear worse in your halls in high school.
Sure will.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, again, it opens September 22nd, so coming right up here, and runs through October 8th. So is that three weekends?
Three weekends. And 15 performances.
15 performances. And that's at the Come and Go Theater?
Yep.
At the Social Club in the Round, which is awesome. If you want to get tickets, you can go to iowastage.org. Thanks for sitting down with me today, guys.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Des Moines Backstage. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. My favorite app is the Pocket Casts app. Also, if you'd like us to feature your next production as an episode of Des Moines Backstage, you can send us a message on our Facebook page. Thanks for listening.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines Backstage.
Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines Backstage.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage. The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.